while about what to share with you all. And then Evangeline got up a couple of weeks ago when we were just here attending and shared this passage that I'm going to read today. And so I want to kind of try to open this up to us a little bit. I hope this will be an encouragement to you. It's the passage, for those of you who have devices or Bibles or whatever you have, is Philippians 4, 4 through 9. You got it? Oh, there, it's up on the board. That's tricky. I didn't realize last time I was here that that was up on the wall. But don't turn around backwards. It'll make me feel all lonely. Yeah. All right, let's read it, and then I'm going to make some comments. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Okay, so I don't know that many of you in this room personally. And you might think it would be cocky of me to say I know what God is doing in every one of your lives. But it's true in a general sense. I don't know if you're called to be a lawyer or a carpenter or whatever you're called to be. I don't know that kind of knowledge about you. But I do know this from the scripture, that God is taking everything that's coming into your life and mixing it all in this kind of pot for your good. And then the good that he's mixing around and putting together for you is he's conforming you to the image of his son. Okay? I know that that's true of every single one. That's as true of Donald as it is of anybody else in this room. God is, and this passage in particular, I think, zeroes in a little bit more specifically on what it is that God is doing in your life. What is God doing in your life? The first thing he says here is he says basically it's some kind of mix of love and joy and peace. See, what God is concerned about in Dennis's life is who he is becoming. Who are you becoming? And by that, when I say following Jesus, becoming like Jesus, I'm not talking about taking on some kind of religious tradition. What I'm talking about is you being changed on the very inside in your guts to become something different and more and better than you are, so that when people come around you, they go, "Man, there's something different about Lance." You know, not that I'm extra cool or extra different for any of you, but there's something happening in each of us that God is ordaining, and the first thing he says that he wants to produce is love. I'm not going to talk about that today. That's kind of for another time. But I want to talk to you specifically about two things, joy and peace. It seemed like when I first came into the church, people were talking about this a lot, you know, entering into the peace of God, entering into joy, becoming a joyful person. And I just haven't not, but maybe I hang around the wrong circles. But I just have not heard a lot, but it's a lot to do with what God is doing in your life. Now, none of you in this room is as joyful as you're going to be. Okay, there's going to be a time where we're going to experience joy in its fullness. Joy in its fullness. There's a psalm that I like here that says, in his presence is the fullness of joy. Got that? This is a hint as to how we enter into the joy of the Lord. So God wants for every single person in this room to experience his joy and his peace. And that sounds pretty straightforward and pretty simple, doesn't it? But experiencing God's peace on an ongoing, in an ongoing basis is challenging, right? Do you know that you live in an anxious world? Have you watched the news this week? We live in an anxious world, and it's very easy to succumb to being anxious all the time. I preached on this passage, or part of this passage, my very first sermon ever, and the reason was I was so anxious about preaching in front of my friends at my home church that I just memorized this verse and memorized the sermon. I literally spoke it 45 times into the mirror. Walking in God's peace and God's joy is it's a challenge in this world. And Paul gives us some handles here on how do we do that. The first thing you might not notice is this is a command. Hello? This is a command. Rejoice in the Lord always. He's saying, you need to do that. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then he says, again, I'm going to say it. In case you didn't hear it the first time, what I'm saying to you is rejoice in the Lord. Now, we do that corporately when we're together and we worship and things, but how about like the day-to-day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday stuff? Are you walking around? I remember in the Jesus movement where I first got saved, you know, in the late 60s, early 70s, I remember everybody saying all the time, praise the Lord, and that became kind of like a religious slogan, and it doesn't feel cool anymore to say praise the Lord, but internally at very least, and externally, we should be saying praise the Lord, that God is good. Has God been good to you? Yeah? Three of you? Good. Do we not do response here? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so we need to choose joy. Choose joy. On the basis of what? Here's what he gives to us that's really, in my mind, precious, and you could easily skip over. This is very simple, and I'm going to have you say it back to me. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. Now, that very well might be a reference to the second coming of Jesus, because these letters are full of that. But that's true. The Lord is near in that sense, but the Lord is near. He's right here with us right now. This is a weird thing. Where two or three are gathered in his name, right, we believe he's here. So as I'm up here, you know, going on, Jesus is here. That I'm up here going on doesn't mean very much, but Jesus is here. That means a lot. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. And we want to carry that, I would say, consciousness around with us all the time, that no matter where we are, whether, you know, we're at the coffee shop or the basketball court or at the gym or at, you know, wherever you go. This changed my life about 10 or 12 years ago when I realized when I walk into a coffee shop, it's not just me coming. I'm walking in, and guess what? Jesus lives in me. It's near is not actually good enough. He's near us, yes, that's very, very true, but he's in us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is in you? He is. And so wherever you go, he goes. That's an amazing thing. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. In his presence is the fullness of joy. And then he gives us a second command other than rejoice, which has to do with combating anxiety. He says, do not be anxious about anything. Any of you feel like you're walking in that fully? Do you? No, that's tough. If Paul left us there, I would think it's almost mean. It's like, don't worry about anything. Or if you want to put it in a King James-y kind of way, thou shalt not sweat it. You can only do that if you believe two things. Number one, you have to believe that God actually loves you. And he's concerned and cares for your life. The other thing is you got to believe that God actually is sovereign. And those two things are very simple, but I've found in my 46, 7, however many years I've been a believer, it's difficult. He says, be anxious for nothing, but and again, it would be mean if he just left us there, but he doesn't leave us there. He says, do not be anxious about anything. And then he says, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So what's the command? Don't worry. Jesus says this too. This is not just Paul. Don't worry. But what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? Now this is, in my mind, the challenge of this text. I want you to learn to, instead of worrying, to pray. The only way that you're going to achieve peace and joy and all the things that you want is if you learn to pray. I had a friend of mine at Anaheim. I asked him one time. He said something like, oh, pastors only have one message. And I go, well, then tell me what mine is. And he goes, what? This is Bob Fulton. He said, well, yours is easy. You used to talk about two things all the time. You talk about the church actually loving each other, which is a giant challenge, right? But really super important. Our whole testimony is built on us loving one another. The other thing is, he says, you always talk about prayer. I said, yeah, Bob, because the reason why I talk about prayer is because one has to do with our relationships with each other. The other has to do with our relationship with God. You cannot develop a relationship with God that's of significance and is going to impact you in such a way that you will be changed from the inside unless you learn to pray. Now, there's lots of different ways to pray, and I'm not going to talk about that so much today, but there's two types of prayer that are in this passage. He says, you're to, you know, make your requests made known to God. And what I would call this is releasing prayer. It's like you let what's bugging you, your issues, whatever you need, you release that to God. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. You believe he cares for you? Pray, releasing prayer. And then he says, the other thing I want you to learn to do is I want you to learn to walk in thanksgiving. Where Thanksgiving is fast upon us here. Growing up in New York, this did not come naturally for me. As a New Yorker, grumbling, complaining, sarcasm, that was sort of the native language. So learning to actually walk in gratitude was difficult. You know, it was difficult for me. Now, I'll tell you what my simple practice is now. Once a day, at least, I sit down and I name five things that I'm thankful for. I try not to make them be the same thing, because I could always say my wife, I could always say my daughter, you know, my son-in-law, of course. Yeah. Yes. So he's saying, if you want to walk in this kind of peace, you need to do two things. You need to live in a place of this releasing prayer where stuff rolls off your shoulders onto shoulders that are much bigger than yours. And then you need to learn to give thanks. And then he makes this pretty incredible promise in following upon this. He says, after he says, you present your request to God, he says, the peace of God... Peace of God, think about that saying, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. It's beyond your comprehension, beyond your ability to figure it out. It's trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When I first studied this, I found out that what this kind of means is the peace of God will march around your heart and your mind. Isn't that a cool picture? Like, God is actually interested in bringing peace into your situation, peace into your life, peace into your marriage, peace. What would it be like to walk around in this world and not be anxious? That's what he's presenting to us. Be anxious for nothing. And you think, well, Paul, you know, he's an apostle. He just did apostle things. He didn't have a hard time. Have you read about Paul's life? Paul had way more difficult life than almost all of us. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was left to die after he was stoned. I mean, Paul had a hard, hard life. And yet he's the one that's standing up here and saying, you can have peace no matter what your circumstance. That's cool. At least it seems to me cool. The promise is peace if you practice these things. Here's something that I didn't understand when I was a younger Christian. When I was a younger Christian, I did not understand that some of these things actually have mechanisms. I thought they all just came automatically, like with the package, you know, you're a Christian, here's your joy, here's your peace, you know. And then I found out, no. There's things often that we have to do. Here's an example of what we just did. You need to learn to stop worrying, and you need to learn to start praying. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will come to you, will guard your heart and your mind. Just one more practice that God's led me into over the years that might be helpful to you. For those of you who are visual people, I never found that praying in my head was that helpful. My head's too busy. It's like there's too much going on there. So what I learned to do all the way back when I was in seminary, which is many, many years ago now, I started to learn to journal. Most of you know what journaling is? In my mind, it's a very simple thing. It's writing letters to God. That's kind of how I see it. So I write out almost all my prayers now, especially in my set-aside formal, more formal times of prayer that I have with God. That might be helpful to some of you, because some of you, if you're honest, say, I can only pray for like 3 minutes, you know, which would probably be typical around the church. This has enabled me to be able to pray as long as I need to pray, which sometimes can be for hours, depending on what's going on in my life. And I'm not putting that on you, any kind of time limit or anything like that. But you need to learn somewhere where you do this kind of processing, releasing type of prayer, so you can kind of get to the other side of those things that you're constantly worrying about. So, all right. Then he says an interesting thing, and I just run into this in myself every day. What are you thinking about? What do you spend the majority of your time thinking about? He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. In other words, all the positive things, seeing the good. He says, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, this is what he says to us. Think about these things. How many of you know that you have some choice over what you think about? Do you know that? You're not just kind of, you know, willy-nilly, like you can't get anywhere. You can choose what you think about. You can choose joy. You can choose, even when you look at an individual person. So, you know, as I look at Dennis, as I get to know him, I know some strengths and some weaknesses. I can choose if I want to focus on his, he probably only has one negative, that's probably the whole thing. But I can choose that, or I can choose to focus on the negative. And I tell you something, once you become somebody's critic, they can't win. Do you get that? This is really important for church life. Once you see them through a critical eye, they can't win. I don't care if they're second most holy to Jesus or who they are. He says, make sure you pay attention to what you focus on, what you think about. And then he says a very interesting thing. He says, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me, this is Paul writing to young Timothy, received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. Okay, so this is a really important thing, again, in the church, but just in life in general. There's some things you can learn by books, and there's some things you learn by watching other people that are further along the path than you. It's important, you guys, especially ones that are younger, that you find people that are a little bit more advanced than you, and you watch what they practice. Not just what they say, but what they practice. So, you know, God blessed me at two different times in my life. First with Linus, who was the one who led me to Christ and discipled me. I spent a year and a half with him almost every day when I became a Christian. And I most of what I've learned about the Christian life came from him. And then later on in my life, when I was in my mid-20s, I ran into John Wimber. And John, you know, again, he's saying, notice those people around you that are walking in this way and imitate them. That's really how you learn. Imitation. Put these things into practice. Practice, practice, practice. I don't know how many of you read any of Dallas Willard's books, but one of the things he talks about in there is we learn the spiritual disciplines, the spiritual life by practice, just like anything else. So, would you like some more joy in your life? How about peace? Would that be good? Peace. What Paul is saying to us is God wants you to have those things. Now, are you going to have this all perfected by next week? No. Anybody that tells you, you know, that's some little trick and all of a sudden now you're peaceful from now on. No, this life is a battle. Right? This life is a battle. But what he's saying is you can live in much more peace than you have right now. You can live in much more joy than you have right now. But you got to choose joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And you have to, in a way, choose peace and do the things that Paul is saying to do. He's saying, what I want you to do is I want you to learn to pray. I want you to learn to live in thanksgiving. And, you know, like, I can be really grumpy. I don't know about if anybody else in this room could be a little grumpy. But listen, I'm not looking over there at my family because they're going, yes, you're finally being truthful today. You know? I can also be super joyful. We're all a mix. But you want to have these positive things going off in your life. This is partly your testimony. Love, joy, and peace. When people look at you, do they think, Brad, love, joy, and peace? Of course, Brad, love, joy, and peace. There's lots of us in this room that are experiencing a lot of anxiety right now at this time in your history. So we're going to spend a moment and pray for you all here today. I think I might have told you this on another occasion, but I hang out at this one particular coffee bar called Coffee Bean. I'm not like advertising for them. I don't get commission or anything. But and you know, I know most of the baristas there, and probably have for the last 10 years. And usually I ask them how they're doing, and pretty much what they always said for years was two things. One is some version of I'm tired. Now, of course, they're getting up at 4-something in the morning to go open the coffee shop, so it makes sense. Tired. The other thing they would say to me is I'm busy. Most of them are going to school, and, you know, they're baristas, and, you know. So they're, you know, legitimately tired and busy. Lately, there's been a shift, and several of them have said something like this to me. I said, you know, and I know them well enough where they'd be honest with me. I said, you know, Elizabeth, how are you doing? And she's super anxious. I'm thinking, at 20, you shouldn't be super anxious. But lots of us are. And I think it's clear in the scripture that, you know, well, this passage at the very least, be anxious for nothing. I don't want my people walking around carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders because it's not your job. It's not my job. I can care about things, but I don't carry them. I don't have to carry them. So in his presence is the fullness of joy. Be anxious. This is all kind of adding up to a picture, right? He's saying, this is what I want for you. I want you to live in peace. I want you to live in joy. I do not want you to be anxious all the time. But you're going to have to take on some new practices, some new ways of doing this. And one of them is you're going to have to pray. And pray for each other. This isn't like just an isolation thing one-on-one. You guys, quite regularly pray for each other, at least when I've been around here. And those are the weeks you pray, just to, so I would think that you did it. Yeah, but no. Yeah. Hey, could we be honest for a minute? How many of you are in a season right now, and there's no condemnation in this at all. We are loved as we are, not as we should be. How many of you feel like, yeah, this is, Lance, you're right. I've been in a period where I've been anxious about lots of stuff. Wait, just raise your hand. Everybody turn around and look because lots of people's hands are raised. Okay. Now, a second step, what I would like you to do is I'd like you to kind of yield to prayer right now. I would like, if you just raise your hand, or even if you were chicken, to raise your hand and you want to now. Why don't you stand up? You guys that raised your hand, stand up. Okay, so the rest of you, I assume, are doing pretty well. Yes? So you're the prayer team. Okay, so what I want you to do, those of you who said, yes, I've been in an anxious season, I want you to stay there. And I want you guys to get 2 or 3 people around each of these people. Go ahead, be the church. Okay, so there's still some people standing that don't have people around there. So don't just pray for your friends. Yeah. If nobody's come to you so far, would you just raise your hand again? Then I'll make sure people come. Okay, let me pray a general prayer, and then I'm going to release you guys to pray for each other. Lord Jesus, you are the God of peace. You are the God of hope. And I pray now that you would come and that you would pour your hope and your peace upon your people. Release them from anxiety. In Jesus' name, release them from anxiety. Go ahead and begin to pray for them.